The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
8 to 10 weeks, but you know what? That's a loaded roster. And beggars can't be choosers. And the Warriors right now are rolling, stacking W's. And there's a lot to like. There's a lot to love. Now, they got blown out Friday night in Cleveland. And, you know, 650 Comcast Business Text Line has been coming at me about the starting lineup. But I will concede this. The Warriors, one of the worst teams in terms of points per quarter in the first quarter. So points per first quarter. The Warriors are on a list with the Blazers, the Spurs, some of the bad teams, the Wizards, averaging just over 26 points a game or 26 points in the first quarter. So, yes, they have gotten off the slow starts, 14-3 in Boston. Of course, in Cleveland, they're down 20-2. The first game of the season at Portland, they couldn't buy a basket. Utah was clunky. Hell, they were down 34-14 to the Pelicans on the first game of the doubleheader. So slow starts has been a problem. But I think Steve Kerr found something yesterday with the starting lineup. De'Anthony Melton gets his first start of the season. And this is what we kind of anticipated in training camp. Can he be that two guard next to Stephen Curry? Because I like Buddy Hield's role off the bench. I want him coming off the bench. I love that role for him with the second unit alongside J.K. And I think we have a development there with J.K. and Buddy Hield coming in with the second unit. That could be a problem for opposing teams.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
But having De'Anthony Melton, who's a lifetime 37% three-point shooter, who could defend as well, I like him next to Stephen Curry because you need a little more offense with that starting unit to give Steph a little more spacing to operate, because when you do have a front line of Draymond and TJD, teams are going to dare them to shoot. And Wiggins right now, his three ball wasn't rolling up until yesterday. So I like this unit moving forward here with De'Anthony Melton. Steve Kerr mentioned yesterday that they're going to roll with this five for the foreseeable future.
So I'm sure a lot of people tuned in to portions of Friday night's game and was like, oh, this one's over. And maybe they disconnected. Maybe they did family night. Maybe they stuck around like I did. I watched the whole game Friday night, and I loved the way that they battled. And in these games that you lose where there's a blowout, sometimes things can happen that carry over. I thought Melton's first game back in that game and his ability to make a couple of plays, some middies off the backboard, I was like, oh, this is a silver lining. Kuminga making some plays in the Cleveland game. I was like, ooh, right. This is a silver lining. And I thought both guys carried that over into the game yesterday. Yep. I thought Andrew Wiggins battled his you-know-what off yesterday
Andrew Wiggins has been fine this season.
No, he had
a little bit of slump on the road trip, 4-19 from three. But yesterday he goes 2-4 from the three-point line, but 8 rebounds, 5 assists. And it's not just the
activity.
It's the energy and activity. Yeah. He's defending his ass off.
And I love that Steve Kerr, understanding that OKC was going small yesterday, kind of was like, yeah, Looney and TJD, like, Love ya. This is not a great matchup for you.
Well, TJD didn't start the second half. GP2 did.
Yeah.
And Looney didn't play a second yesterday. But so you're playing in the matchups.
Exactly.
You're playing
to
the matchups.
What I wanted him to do.
So that's what he did yesterday. JK with 14 of his 20 in the first half yesterday. And when he's getting downhill and he's attacking the basket. Now, I love the two threes where he settled in and shot a couple threes. But when he's attacking, five more rebounds yesterday for JK. This role for him with Buddy Hield and JK and GP2, those are your first three guys off the bench. Now, we got to figure out Pods' jump shot right now. He's struggling with the jump shot, and we'll get there. He'll have his time. Lindy Waters has also hit a bit of a slump here ever since he lit up the Pelicans. But you get JK and Buddy Hield there, and you get GP2, and the minutes you're getting from Moody is very productive. I got something cooking here. Now maybe Steve Kerr's starting to pare down his rotation just a bit.
Now, this is where I did the math, so I could be wrong. Since becoming a reserve, I've got over 17 points a game for Jonathan Kuminga and almost 52% shooting from the field since becoming a quote-unquote reserve player.
Right. He's not part of the first five.
Okay.
But
if I told you he's going to average close to 18 points a game on 50-plus shooting, wouldn't everyone be like, yeah, we'll take that?
I mean, even in the blowout against Cleveland,
I thought he was
JK
attacking.
On the Warriors look slow in that game. They're getting blown by left and right.
Garland killed
Garland him. And Mitchell got 2 feet in the paint all night long. Mobley and Allen's length and size really bothered the Warriors in the half court. They wouldn't let the Warriors breathe. They couldn't get an open shot, man. That was as impressive of a win I've seen all season. Cleveland took it to the Warriors. They're still undefeated. And their problem with Kenny Atkinson.
Uh-huh.
But I thought Kuminga was the one guy on the Warriors who looked like he belonged on the same floor. He looked like he belonged on the same floor with Cleveland, with the speed and athleticism. So, look, there's a role for him on his team. I don't know, like, after the Boston game, I saw a tweet that blew up, and somebody tagged me in it.
What's
for
that?
What reason, I have no idea. But they beat Boston in the first Eagles. So, can you imagine what the team's going to look like when they trade JK? Everybody's so quick. Jason just told you.
What are we doing?
Rome wasn't built in a day. We just want to trade, but to your point, since he's shifted to the bench, JK, 17.5 points a game, 52.7% from the floor and 45% from three. And
I
asked everybody. 45% from three.
I didn't have that.
As well as, what is he doing on the glass? Well, now that there's an uptick in rebounds, he's averaging 5 rebounds a game off the glass in these past 6 games. So JK is playing well in his role. Andrew Wiggins, but there was the return to Chef. 7-13 from three, 36 points, 7 assists, 5 rebounds, and he's playing at such an unbelievable level right now.
Don't you think that having Melton alongside of him, who contributed with 19, 10, and 2 assists and 3 steals, the size is there, and then you have another ball handler. He was hitting the middies, and then he obviously had, I think he had 5 threes yesterday. But to me, it was the defense. He's so aware off ball. He jumped multiple passing lanes and either forced a pass to a different direction or just stole the ball.
Yeah.
I think Melton alongside Curry is kind of an unlocker.
Well, this is the starting lineup that I assumed was going to happen before what's trading camp was over. But Steve Kerr wanted to go a little bigger, and he went with athleticism and size with Kuminga, Wiggins, and TJD, and Draymond. And obviously, you needed a little more shooting there. Anthony Melton's a lifetime 37% three-point shooter. The only problem is his back, right? He missed 5 games with the back injury. He missed 44 last year in the regular season with Philadelphia. Played in only 1 playoff game for Philadelphia. So if his back holds up and you're getting, you're not going to get 19 points every night, but if you get 12 to 15
exactly,
and you're getting 10 rebounds from this guy who can guard at a high level. Now, he's not GP2 in terms of defending, but he had a big drop off from GP2 to Melton. He's a problem at the point of attack defensively. So the Warriors did their thing yesterday. They outscored OKC in the second and third quarters, 81-46. 81-46, Shaq's game went 14-24 from three. So when we recap the road trip, 4-1 on this 5-game roadie, when you think about when they entered the Boston game, their next three opponents was 22-1. They beat Boston. They beat OKC. And I don't give a damn if they're a shorthanded or not. These were good quality wins.
But I think the common denominator, again, could it be an outlier? Sure. But the common denominator in the two wins, I don't fear the bigs on OKC with no Chet and no Hartenstein.
Yeah.
Right? So they don't have a big. And then against Boston, Horford is
he's 38 years old.
That's what I'm saying. And they didn't have Porzingis. But against Cleveland, what did they have? They had a young stud in the middle who's a dynamic athlete. And I just, look, I love these wins. I am not trying to poo-poo them at all.
No.
But there will be a time when you're going to need TJD and Looney and maybe big to be able to slow down these bigs. So I'm so encouraged by what it is. Now, I'm very interested. A, the Chet injury is huge. What does it look like with Hartenstein with that team?
Yeah.
I don't know. It could fit. It could not fit.
Well, look.
He was a rugged player for the Knicks.
The Warriors are going to have a stretch from December 6th to December 21st where they played the Minnesota Timberwolves three times.
Oof.
All right.
Naz Reid and
Gobert.
And Gobert, yeah. Ugh.
But I bring that up because let me list these next 10 games off.
Give them to me.
I believe they're 10, if I'm doing my math correctly. That's 11 games. Next 11. Dallas tomorrow night. We know that's a big one. Memphis Friday without Ja Morant, possibly. He's week to week with he's got a hip, pelvic. Dude's banged up. Then they play the Clippers in L.A. Need to come back home for Grant Lifman's Hawks. Then you have a double dip, a back-to-back against the Pelicans and the Spurs. Then you play Brooklyn at home. Then you play OKC without Chet. Then you go to Phoenix, and who knows if Kevin Durant will be back by November 30th if he has a calf strain.
Yeah, I'm going to say no. Even though they're saying 2 weeks, I'm going to say no.
Then you get a nice little two-day break before you play Denver in the Mile High City. And then you play the Houston Rockets back at home. So these next 11 games.
It's pretty favorable.
These next 11 games. You know, they're 8-2 now. What if they're 19-6?
Oh, well, then you know what's going to happen.
What if they're, no, wait, that doesn't occur. 11 games. What if they're, say if they go 7-4 in those 11.
Okay.
So all of a sudden they're 15-6?
Well, if they get to 16-6, then,
as we're saying out loud, Shasky and I, that we both believe this team could make a deep run to the playoffs.
Absolutely. Then I'll believe. Now, I already think that there's something in the air, Phil Collins. But I'm telling you right now, this Warrior team is legit. And if teams want to go small with us, we're going to run them out of the gym.
Yeah, you can't play small with them.
No. Like, the only way to beat us is going big. Like, well, not the only way. One of the ways to beat us currently is, like, having the bigs. And, like, Evan Mobley's so unique. How many teams have that guy?
Not a lot of teams have that guy. But you know what I'm noticing?
He's so good.
Cleveland, they attempted 42 threes. That was a season high for them Friday. Now, I don't know what they did in Brooklyn. They only averaged 36 three-point attempts per game.
Do you think that was the inside out, or do you think
Yeah, it was the blow-bys, and it was inside out.
Garland, I felt like, could get any shot he wanted in that game.
But think about this. Cleveland shoots, going into that Warriors game, they were shooting 42% from three, 15 of 36. 42% tops in the league.
Yeah, that's incredible.
But that balance that they play with, I'm saying here, you look at Boston wasn't balanced last year. Obviously, they were efficient for the three-point line, but I think you could beat them. The New York Knicks are starting to get back to balance. Mid-range, layups, and then some threes.
It's about matchups.
It's about matchups, but it's also about having some balance within your offense.
Yeah, that's true.
You can't live and die by the three. You got to go inside out here at times. And so Cleveland's ability to go inside out, and you get two guards in Mitchell and Garland, and not to mention Caris LeVert off the bench is a problem. And I'll give you credit. They didn't even have Max Strus. Max Strus destroyed the Warriors last year. They did Ty Jerome
actually looked good.
Can miss.
He looked good. Somewhere Steve Kerr was
so
smiling.
Not everybody's going to be Cleveland, but man, Cleveland looks good.
No, Cleveland looks incredible.
They look incredible.
They look incredible. But here's the thing, B. Like,
but 8-2, man.
You were talking about balanced floor. So like last night, there's little subtle plays that happen. Buddy's been so on fire from three, they overplay him, right? And he goes backdoor with a Draymond bounce pass, and it's a wide open layup. Like, little things like that are going to help them. Now, they're going to need some of these, front court guys scoring. There's no doubt about it. There was a moment last night where I started to worry.
Yeah, of course you did. You started texting. I looked at my phone during our first break of the post-game show. It was like 55 missed texts, and it was all from Joe Shasky.
Well, I'm so worried. I thought something happened. OKC Warriors.
I thought something happened.
I will say this. Draymond.
No, it came out of nowhere. It's like, I didn't hear from none of you guys. And then the last 5 minutes, I saw Shasky lose his mind giving us a play-by-play.
I didn't want to jinx it. There was a moment in time where, obviously, the Dortcher Chamber and Draymond Green were going at it on the side. And I thought they made way too much of it, the referees. And they reviewed it for what felt like an eternity.
Yeah, well, Draymond Green's involved.
He's gone 50 games without a flagrant.
Draymond?
Yes.
Yeah, 10 games down, 10, 55 to go, baby.
You weren't thinking they're going to give him even more for the elbow?
Yeah, of course I was. It's Draymond Green, and it's the NBA refs, and they stopped playing. You see the replay where he flailed and got Dort in the face, and I was like, mature. Oh,
I think he's more mature. And who's your guy that came to the middle of the table and stared into the camera? What's that referee's name?
Come on. Pat Freier.
Dude, Pat Freier. Stop with the no more screen time for these refs. I'm with Mully on this.
I'm gonna take some calls here in a second, but I always want to read people, and I think they get the shows mixed up. Here we go. You guys don't know ish about basketball. 662 Told you Kamiga was that dude. You hug up on me.
Okay.
You're actually speaking to two of the biggest Kamiga fans at the station.
Come on.
How many times have we been pumping up Kamiga on this show?
Come on.
I can't speak for other shows, but I know on this show you're talking to the biggest Jonathan Kamiga fans there is on this show, The Morning Roast. I love JK. Love JK.
Now there's another guy who used to cover the team at this station who.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.